She did a great job on a great truth. He is there for us. We can trust him. Psalmist said, our fathers trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. That's a good thing to remember. He can deliver us. Amen. Well, have mixed emotions tonight about biting off maybe more than I'll be able to finish up. Once you go to the book of Daniel, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 8. I thought maybe I'd just go down and sit on the front row tonight and listen to myself and see what I was going to say. There are times I'm more dangerous than other times. I heard an amen out there. But, you know, we're seeing in the news all the stuff being pulled down, so I thought I'd preach on something that's being fulfilled right now. The truth is being pulled down. The pulling down of the truth. We find, of course, a portion we've taught through the book of Daniel and preached through the book of Daniel at times. Well, boy, I tell you what, you folks that know your Bible some, you know what we're seeing today is so much fulfillment of it. And moving so fast. Moving so fast. Now, I say this to the young folks that still want to hang around a while. Hang around, do something, you know, like get married or something else. The rapture would be even better. So don't let it scare you that we start talking about listening for the trumpet and all the things you're hearing us say. Kids, don't. Listen, heaven is better than this. I don't care if you have the greatest sweetheart and the best marriage. Heaven still be better. All right, amen. Daniel chapter 8, I wish I could. Oh, can I plead my case just a little bit? Can I tell you about the preacher's dilemma? I never can take the time to cover it all. So I have to pick and choose. And then sometime I wonder, did I pick right? Did I choose right? And so that'll be kind of the case, I reckon, tonight. And I'll scatter it. But I'm trusting you're a good enough Bible student that you're going to fill in the blanks. You're going to make the connections between where I skip some. Amen? I hope you will. I want us to just kind of see how far ahead the Bible is on what's happening. Somebody has made the statement, very accurately so, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? That means nothing's taken him by surprise. And certainly when we can pick up his book and read about it and say, uh-huh, that was predicted. A lot of folks don't like prophecy. They think here's the way the attitude is. The attitude is, Lord, I know this is going to happen one day, but let's put it off, not in my day. Right? Isn't that kind of the way it is with us? I'm going to cough at you some tonight. I got a little bit of drainage going on here. But pulling down the truth. Now, there's a man described here. Entity described. I'm not sure that he's going to be totally human or totally what we would call alien or some of both. It may be a mixture of both that's being described here. A man is coming. And the question begins to arise today, who is the Antichrist? Well, we don't need to know that if we know Christ. He's the one. The counterfeiter is coming. He's going to do the things the Bible said he would do, but he's on a leash. God has him tied to he can only go so far, and God will reel him in. And if you read the scripture close, and I'd encourage you to go through the 8th and 9th chapter, especially here of the book of Daniel. If you got a commentary, read it. If you got a Scofield Bible, read the notes on it at the bottom of the page. Every time I cough, I think I'm going to get it this time. But I think it just won't happen. It's just going to have to keep trying. Anyway, look with me in chapter 8. I'm going to pick out a few verses to read. Just for the sake of time tonight, I'm going to do it that way. It starts off with some accurate history. History of world history. History of kingdoms. Those that will arise. And therefore, the skeptics of the book and the God deniers try to say that Daniel had to be written after the fact. Nobody could so accurately write it ahead of time. Well, nobody could, but God did. And so as we look in it, and as we look at history, we see this kingdom rose as Daniel said it would. This one fell. This one was replaced. This appeared just in the order that Daniel gave it. And then he moves on past history, and much of what I'll point out tonight is future. But it's close future. We're not that far off, folks. We're not that far off. He's describing here some kingdoms. And he describes the he-goat in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 8. And he has the great horn that's broken off on the he-goat. And it says in verse 9, out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, toward the pleasant land. That's Israel, the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Pulled it down, sort of like you see in the news when they're stomping on the American flag. This horn here that he's talking about is a person, because you look in verse 11. Yea, he, it's a he, magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And I read on down, it says, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and it prospered. We wonder today as we were shocked at seeing truth being destroyed and distorted and spun around and into the very opposite meaning often of what it has. But we move on. Now, if you want to know the interpretation of what we just read, you stay in the chapter, and God is going to tell you about it in the next number of verses. And we pick it up here. And let's pick it up at the bottom of verse 17, where he says, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Time of the end. Verse 19, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. The tribulation period is sometimes referred to as a period of indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now, sometimes we think God maybe has forgotten. No, he's got an appointed time. And the appointed end is coming. And then the description here of the ram, which thou sawest with the two horns, that's history. The kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. We know from history that's Alexander the Great. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Alexander's kingdom was broken up. Four of his generals took over. You see that in verse 22. Four stood up, for the four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Now here we come back to our time, in latter time, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king. This is one we know to be the Antichrist, of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty. Now, I want you to notice it says, but not by his own power. Now, I won't flip you to it, but in the book of Revelation chapter 13, it tells you when this fellow comes, that he'll be getting his power from the devil. It's not his power, it's Satan's power behind him. When he shows up, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That will be the Jews in the tribulation period. Verse 25, and through his policy, that's a modern word we hear a lot about, politicians and their policy and so forth. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper. Now, we're in the technological age. We know about craft prospering. It is amazing what they're doing today. I talked to you the other Sunday, I think, before I left, about Bill Gates is trying to put a mark out now that'll put a little light under your skin that the scanner can pick up at a distance. And here's the truth about it. In fact, I ripped this out of the paper today and stuck it in my pocket. I just thought about it. Here's one of our local citizens writing to the paper. Just writing to the paper. And he's talking about how this virus business and all that. He's suggesting, I'm cutting down to the bottom of it now, provide a tested negative family with identification that says it's an I tested, like I voted, you have a sticker on you, I voted, or an I tested sticker card. Then open every closed venue, that means all the restaurants that's closed now and everything, open them up, public, government, and private. Allow managements and authorities to the extent they wish to deny participation to those not tested. Did you get that? If you don't have the identification that you've been tested, you can't come in my restaurant. Well, let's read on. This is a citizen's suggestion. No tests, no beer. No tests, no restaurant. No tests, no groceries. Hey, didn't we read in Revelation 13 you couldn't buy or sell without the mark? Folks, we are moving right on into this thing being accepted, and you're going to be the oddball if you don't accept it. You see, that test that Bill Gates is talking about, and he's not the only one. There's a pile of stuff out there. But what it would be identifying whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. And if that little number light under your skin didn't show up on the scanner, you couldn't buy or sell. You couldn't enter a business. You couldn't participate in commerce and all the rest of this stuff that I'm talking to you about. You know what I'm saying to you is that things are moving right according to what the Bible predicted. And yes, there's a fellow fixing to show up. He's fixing to show up. He's going to trample down the truth. He's going to stamp on it. He's going to pull it down. He's going to pervert it. And we're seeing some shocking stuff right now. Amazing. I'm amazed that when they let them out in the streets of Minneapolis and Seattle, that the actual city is using tax-paid fences and props and supplying it where they can block off seven city blocks. Do you know also that we're bringing food and drink into them and feeding them while they're living there at taxpayers' expense? Now, that to me is kind of shocking. I mean, it is just so dumb you can't hardly believe that it could be happening. But the truth is being perverted everywhere. Old America they're trying to destroy. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. And While we're doing this, our enemies, other nations, are watching and licking their chops. I think I've told you this, but I was watching one of those nature programs one night. I kind of like that. The animals sometimes make more sense than humans. And I was kind of watching the thing, you know, the leopard comes out of the tree on the hunt and that sort of thing. And every now and then he'd jump for a deer, but the deer would jump away and run. But he kept hunting. And after a while, two young bucks got to fighting over a young female. And they began to lock horns and fight. And while they were fighting, the leopard slipped up and got one of them. The leopard's slipping up now because America's divided, fighting among itself. And the nations are watching. I mean, the enemies are watching. I'm saying truth is being trampled. A fellow's going to show up. And all that is said about him in the Word of God is going to happen. Now, I may say some shocking things tonight. I'm going to preface it this way and I probably am going to trim it some. But anyway, you pray for me that I will. I had a preacher, good friend. He's preached from me before. I won't use his name. But he told me, he said, I don't know how you're still not in jail. He listens on the line. He listens on the radio. He said, I want you to know you ought to be careful. He said, we now live in a different time than ever before. He said, it used to be a preacher could get up and just slay everybody in the aisle and everybody said amen and the truth was accepted, but he says, not being accepted now. He said, now you're making yourself even what they would call the enemy of the state. And he said, if you think when you look in the news that they'll frame somebody like General Flynn or somebody else, if they can do that, they can pick us little fellows off pretty easy. I know what he's talking about. Received a letter from a friend, not a preacher, but a friend I've known for many years. He listens on the radio all the time. Truth is, he's a little older than me, I believe. And yeah, there are some folks just a little older than me. But anyway, he wrote me a letter. And he said, I listen to you, and I don't know how in the world you're getting by with what you're saying. Now, he's knowledgeable. I know what he means. He means there's forces out there that don't want to be exposed. And you see, it's not like it was in the old days. I used to preach to whoever was in front of me. Now it's going, I don't know where to who. You know what I'm saying? Big difference. Big difference. And you might not know it, had a man in the service this morning that has been on some inner circles, some of the security people in Washington and places like that. And in well-meaning ways, he's mentioned my name to him because he got saved here years ago. And he said, I had one security agent ask me not long ago, who is this Mickey Carter you keep talking about? I thought, hold it, fella. you might be going too far here. But what he's doing is he's sharing with them a lot of stuff I preached way back when he was in the church. That's he's seeing fulfilled and knowing it. And he's saying to some of them in high places, this was already predicted. Amen. So that's what we read out of God's book. God's book knows the past and it knows the future. And when you and I read it, we can get a good view of the whole thing. Amen. Now, here's a man that's going to show up. He's going to show up and he's going to change the truth. Mr. Joe Biden said, I'm just going to go for the truth. I'm not going to look at the facts. You heard that. He said that. One thing about this age of everything going on tape. There it is, amen, there it is. Now I feel sorry for Joe, tell you the truth. I think if you took him 100 foot from his front door and spun him around 3 times, he'd be lost. I don't know if the president was joking the other day. He said, Joe don't know whether that's his wife or his sister. I'm sorry, I heard him say it. But that's the kind of stuff that can get your preacher in trouble. But I'm so close to the jumping off place, so we can live with it. Amen. This fellow that's going to show up that I'm talking to you about tonight, he's going to change the truth. That's what this scripture says. He's going to pull it down. He's going to stamp on it. He's going to do something. And Daniel's got other stuff than just this chapter on him. He's going to try to bring in socialism. He's going to do some things that are amazing and get by with it. He's going to change the truth. Are they already trying that? You know, political correctness and all of that business. But we're seeing now what's going on in America. And folks, we got a little table back there asking you to sign a petition to kind of help the city government thing here. But that's small, but the election coming is going to be the biggest one we've ever had. And more is going to be at stake than ever before. And I'm with the young people that would like to have 3 or 4 more years. I'd like to have that to reach souls. And if Trump gets back in, we might have it. Listen, we're going to have chaos in the street whether he wins or loses. We're already seeing it there, amen? We know that's going to happen. But this leader is going to come in changing truth and getting by with it. And been doing this. The devil's been doing this for a long, long time. I recognize that. But this fellow's going to come in and change it like never before. And what's going on now is an attack on the Judeo-Christian heritage and background of America. And the president, with all his crudeness, is still telling the truth and getting more in trouble for it all the time. Because truth is under attack today, no doubt about it. When he removed the embassy and for Israel, he really made some enemies. And Israel right now, somebody, Brother Lee, I think, gave me a paper this morning showing them burning the Israeli flag as well as the American flag. You see, Israel knows America's her protector. And the enemy of Israel wants to destroy America. We're the big brother standing in the way of them doing what they want to do. And that is very, very real right now, this time. And so the Judeo-Christian nation needs to be destroyed, according to them. Now, this fellow's going to come in changing truth. And I'm not going to go down the list and say so much about it right now, but every day's news carries something else that you just think couldn't happen. But not only that it couldn't happen, but that it did happen. And then we see our lawmakers and our authorities siding with the group instead of siding with the truth. And what is great, our heritage is being destroyed in America. You see, our founders were Bible believers. And you look through our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, all of it. You look through it and you'll find King James Bible quotes and truths spread all through it. That's our heritage as Americans. And that's what's under attack today. Did you see while they're pulling all these statues down that they wanted to go over to the St. John's Church and find a statue or an image or a representation of Jesus and destroy it too? Now, we know we're not supposed to have idols and we're not into that business, but I'm saying that shows you what they want to do. Did you see where they threw the red paint on George Washington's statue? Do you know right tonight they're having to guard the statue in Washington, D.C. of President Andrew Jackson? What have we come to? Destroying our history, destroying our heritage. And then we take food to them in the streets while they're doing that. Destroying our police force. I said it this morning. I won't get off on that. You know it. You're keeping up with the news. I'm sure you know these things. But the lack of knowledge is amazing. It's amazing. You say, well, if just the Civil War statutes, then why'd they pull down useless grants? All right. I'm playing with you some. See if you're awake tonight. My son pastors in a city up there named Grantsville, named after Grant. The road running by Stevens Church, and it's not a road you want to go fast on, too many curves, but Highway 16 runs right by his door, and there's a sign, there's some plaques on that highway, and it says, this is the Blue-Gray Highway. And it comes through there and kind of splits the country for miles. Now, what does that mean? It means the Civil War raged in those hills. And that road was identified as the line between the gray and the blue. And you go up there today and you find an American flag on this house and a Confederate flag on that house. They hadn't got through yet. That's not quite, I don't know of any fighting going on, but you see the flags. My wife can tell you, you see them. And I want to get off into that a little bit, but our heritage is under attack. And you say, well, why did they tear down Grant's statue? They didn't have any reason. When one of the reporters kept questioning them, finally somebody come up and said, well, some of his family owned slaves. Right? Maybe. Yeah, I think probably so. But I want to just say this, white folks, I'm talking to you for a minute. We got a lot of black church members and friends. And we love them in the Lord. And I've often said it's not the color of your skin. It's whether your heart's got right with God and whether you got it bathed in the blood, the red blood of Jesus Christ. That's what counts. Amen. Sure. I say that to you. But you and I better watch out for being conned into what is called white guilt and white privilege. I heard this business about, you were raised with white privilege. I wish you could have seen me when I was earning 30 cents an hour. I didn't think I had much privilege. First job I had in Haines City was shining shoes right up there in an old arcade building that's still standing. I didn't know much about white privilege then. Right? When I went out in the fields in Georgia and worked as a 13-year-old kid for 30 cents an hour, I didn't think I was enjoying white privilege. And I was working a lot right alongside of some of my black friends, and they didn't have black privilege either. We were just out there earning the living, being honest, and doing what was right. Don't let this thing. You say, well, you ought to be guilty. Guilty of what? My forefathers didn't own slaves. I sure didn't. I wouldn't have condoned it. And at the same time, in its context, you deal what the Bible says about it. There were men in the Bible that sold themselves into slavery to stay alive. Bond slaves. And Paul himself, in his argument with the authorities when they arrested him, one of the Romans said to him, I paid great money for my freedom. And Paul said, I was born free. Remember that? I want to tell you, get it in its context. Now, I got to get off of that. I don't want to open that door too much except to say, don't be conned today and let the truth be dropped and stamped on. You ought to stand up for what is right on this thing. And all the responsible and God-loving and Christian black folks that I know are not condoning what's going on in the streets in their name. And I also say this, there's more white jerks out there than there are black folks in the street. If you don't know what jerk means, you see me later. We know what it means. It's an amazing situation. And somebody said, well, they don't know our history. I'll tell you why they don't know it. They never learned it in school. They never learned it in college. And then they got to the college level and university level, they learned the opposite of the truth. Amen. Perverted truth. Denying the truth. And so now we're reaping what was sown as we turned our back on the truth. This fellow showing up is going to change the truth. He's also going to destroy with peace. Look in verse 25. Verse 25 I see here in this 8th chapter. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper. Technology, computer, you name it. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And watch the next statement. And by peace shall destroy many. Did you get that? By peace. Going to destroy with peace? How do you do that? Do you know every war that's ever been started was started in the name of peace? I think it was Franklin Roosevelt that said, this war will end all wars. How many wars we had since then? Oh, we're amazed. We're depraved humans, and without Jesus, we're going to keep on waxing worse and worse on this old planet Earth. He's going to destroy with peace. He's going to deceive. He's going to deceive the Jews. He's going to get a peace covenant with them. We know the scripture tells that for the end time things. And right now we're seeing this very preaching or campaigning in the name of peace, which is as false as it can be. While the politicians are still talking peace, the real scientists, not the pseudoscientists, but the real scientists are telling us that man's about to blow himself up in a nuclear exchange. And I don't believe he's going to destroy the earth. I believe God's going to do that himself in his proper time, proper way. But here he's going to use this lie that I'm for peace. And he's going to, the scripture there says it's going to prosper. For a while he's going to prosper with this. He's going to sell it. He's going to have it happen. He's going to be the man with the answers. Revelation chapter 6, he shows up on the white horse. He's a counterfeit Christ, and he comes in with a peace platform. And we can count on that happening just like God said that it would. I'm going to see this, though, in verse 24. He's going to have power, but it's not going to be his own. Look at it in verse 24. and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Are you looking at your Bible with me? Not by his own power. I've already said to you, he's going to get his power from the devil. Revelation chapter 13, about verse 2, tells us that. I'm going to look for it. I don't have it marked. Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who's the dragon? Well, Revelation 12 and other places, the great red dragon is the devil. This tells us it's the devil. And the dragon gave him his power. So he's operating under Satan's power. It's not his power. And his seat, the devil gave him his power, gave him his seat, gives him great authority. That's what the verse says. So this man's going to be a satanic combination. Judas had the devil get inside of him, remember? And this man's going to show up. Many believe the very spirit that was in Judas will come back, very likely. And he's going to get his power from the beast, from the devil, and he's going to have that power. It won't be his own power, but it'll be a power that'll work here on earth for a while. You know, I said I could get in trouble, and I can. I'm kind of debating while I'm trying to preach, too. Oh, glory. If you come and bring me a cake in jail, will you put a file in it, please? Maybe a hacksaw will be better. All right. All right. There's an interesting point made by a rabbi. Long time. I probably shared this with you before, but I'm going to go a little further tonight, maybe. Shared by a rabbi in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus is talking about seeing lightning, or seeing Satan as lightning, fall from heaven. Remember that? Jesus said, he was talking about the fall of Satan. He said, I've already seen him as lightning fall from heaven. Now this rabbi, in the days that Barack Obama was president, made this observation. And you can check it out. Any of you involved in Hebrew language, Hebrew words. In the Hebrew word, lightning is Barak. Did you know that? Now, I'll prove it. You go to a Strong Concordance, and you can go in there. I mainly use Young's Concordance, but Strong's Concordance gives you a number of how powerful the word is. And the Hebrew word is the power of 1,300. In Greek, stronger, the word is 913. The only way in the Hebrew language, if you had a Hebrew New Testament, accurate Hebrew, Jewish Hebrew, the only way that Jesus could say, Satan, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It would go like this. I saw Barak. I saw Satan as Barak fall from heaven. Say, that's a play on words. Probably is. But it's interesting. It actually goes a little bit further. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about Satan trying to usurp his throne in the high places over God, over God's throne. Now, we know some things that Barak did. He apologized for America. He not only that, most everybody believed he was a Muslim at heart because he favored them over Christianity. Didn't he? You remember those things? You remember he stopped the prayer breakfast. You remember at every turn, at one of the prayer breakfasts before he stopped it, he got up and rebuked Christianity in comparison to Islam. You remember that? I mean, he done some anti-Christian things, big time. He did that. And the truth is, a lot of folks thought he was a Muslim at heart, and some other things I won't say that they thought. But we've talked since Trump got in about the shadow government. Not the one government we elected, but the ones in the shadows. The ones The swamp draining the swamp, yeah, but shadow government pulling the puppet strings behind the scene. That sort of thing. And truth is, we're not the only ones that made that observation. I'm pulling out, and I'm going to read most of it to you. I'm going to take time to read it. I'm going to use a name that most of you should recognize if you watched, especially if you watch Fox News, but even on other channels. There was a news reporter. He was a journalist. He was a good one. Charles Krauthammer. Charles was hurt as a young man diving into a swimming pool and paralyzed. It didn't show that on TV. They would often not show, but Charles all the time was in a wheelchair. And he sat stiff like this because he had very little movement because he was paralyzed. And he's dead now. He hadn't been dead a long time. And he was very greatly respected in the news business, greatly respected as a journalist. And they've paid tribute to him a time or two since he's been dead. But Charles Krauthammer wrote what I'm going to read to you. So we're not talking about a Baptist preacher somewhere. We're not talking about a conspiracy theory somewhere. We're reading from a man that even in journalism and even in the news channels has great respect. Amen. I'll read what he says. I do not understand how living in a country with its democracy established over 200 years ago, and now for the first time in history, suddenly we have one of our former presidents set up a group called Organizing for Action. OFA, Organizing for Action, is 30,000 strong and working to disrupt everything that our current president's administration is trying to do. This organization goes against our democracy. It is an operation that will destroy our way of governing. It goes against our Constitution, our laws, and the processes established over 200 years ago. If it is allowed to proceed, then we will be living in chaos very much like third world countries are run. What good is it to have an established government if it is not going to be respected and allowed to follow our laws? If you had an army 30,000 strong and a court system stacked over the decades with judges who would allow you to break the laws, how much damage could you do to a country? We are about to find out in America. Our ex-president said he was going to stay involved through community organizing and speak out on the issues. And that appears to be the one post-administration promise he intends to keep. He has moved many of his administration's top dogs over to Organizing for Action. Organizing for Action is behind the strategic, tactical implementation of the resistance to the Trump administration that we are seeing across America. And politically active courts are providing the leverage for this revolution. Organizing for Action is dedicated to organizing communities for progressive change. The issues are gun control. The issues are gun control, socialistic health care, abortion, sexual equality, climate change, and of course, immigration reform. I'm reading it, I didn't write it. Organizing for Action members were propped up by the ex-president's message from the shadows. Organizing is the building block of everything great we have accomplished. Organizers around the country are fighting to change their communities, and Organizing for Action is one of the groups on the front lines. Commit this work in 2017 and beyond. Organizing for Action's website says it obtained its digital assets from the ex-president's re-election effort and that he inspired the movement. In short, it is the shadow government organization aimed at resisting in tearing down the constitutional republic we know as America. I'll stop there. Another man, Paul Sperry for the New York Post, says this organization will fight Donald Trump at every turn of his presidency. And of course, that's what's going on. Even the virus come along just at the right time for this crowd to make political hay on it. Now, I didn't write that. I read it to you. There is a group that's undermining America, using our own tax money against us, hating our values, our godly values, hating all the tradition that represents the Lord and what is right. I wish that was not true, but according to the Bible, I've just been reading you out of the book of Daniel, a man is going to show up. Maybe the United Nations will vote him in, as they did Obama, as their head. Remember that? Voted him in as the world leader right after he got elected. Gave him the Pulitzer Prize. How do you say that? Gave it to him. That's the Peace Prize. What did I read here out of the Bible? You're going to come in on a peace platform. Amen and amen, folks. Now, the truth is, this didn't occur to God. God knew it was going to happen. How long will it take to finish off? I don't know. Is he the man? I don't know for sure. But at the minute, if I had to vote for one, I know, as fulfilling the qualifications or the description that I just read to you out of the Bible, he'd be the man. See, that's what could get you to visit me in jail. You're not supposed to say things like that. And yet I've been known to say a few things like that. And the truth of the matter is, we in a day and time, we better not pussyfoot around and play church. What would we do if we thought this week the trumpet was going to sound? I bet we'd do different. I bet we'd talk to somebody. I bet we'd share the gospel probably. I bet if we had a loved one, a member of a family or a kid, mom or dad, we'd talk to them about Jesus. I expect we would. But see, we don't believe it's going to be this week or next. Or maybe not for several years, because we want to get married and we want to do this and we want to do that. Well, I don't know what it is you got, but I want to tell you something. God's not going to ask your permission when he can come. He's not going to say, you got your house in order, you're ready to go, tell me when. No, it's going to hit you by surprise, just like this virus hit the world by surprise. Probably the genuine part of it and the fake part of it, and I think there's both out there. Truth of the matter is, I'm glad I got a book that tells me how it turns out. And I know who the winner is. And this fellow is going to show up, but my Bible tells me that Jesus is coming back, and he's going to destroy this fellow with the brightness of his coming. Amen? Isn't it good to know the Lord Jesus Christ and that you're on the winning side? Amen? All right, let's stand. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Father, we are forewarned by your Word. And we're told, Lord, so much that we don't act on in belief. We just kind of run it on down the road and kick the can down the road and say, well, not yet. But it is going to happen one day when we least expect. The Bible says that the Son of Man will come in such an hour as you think not. And even in the midst of the turmoil and the truth being stamped on and diverted and perverted everywhere, even with all we see and know that's happening, we're still so filled with unbelief so much of the time. Forgive us of that. And help us, Father, to see the time is urgent. It, Father, behooves us to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ while there's time. I pray for the invitation tonight. I don't know who you spoke to or if you spoke to somebody in particular about something. But I pray for the invitation that anybody you spoke to will say yes to you tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If you want to come to the altar, it's open tonight. You want to make a vow, somebody that God laid on your heart while we were preaching that you ought to talk to, tell God about it tonight and ask him to give you courage to do it. Whatever he asks you to do, you do it tonight as we sing. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender humbly at his feet, I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender.
Well, amen. Good to be in God's house tonight, and we're going to let you be seated and share some with you here. Okay, we have Luke and Olivia, right? All stand up here. They're coming to move their membership with us. If I'd known he was going to do that tonight, I wouldn't have made a crack about his piano playing, but... He forgave me and come on anyway, so amen. They want to be members with us, and we're glad to have them. Of course, we know Luke more than Olivia, but I did tell him early on, Olivia, I did not know how he caught you. I just couldn't see where he... All right, we're still playing with Luke. We have a motion to receive them as members. All right, show of hands and so cared. All right. And then we have some more information here. All right. Esther Webb, if you would stand up here with us. Sister Webb has been visiting with us, and she's coming in by statement. I think her previous pastor recommended that she come. Is that right? I think that's right. And Vonda, say that right? All right, Webb, you stand up here with us also. Daughter here, and they're moving their membership with us, and we're glad to have them. Amen. Have a motion to receive them, show of hands, and so carried. We'll give you a chance here as we dismiss to come by and get to speak to them and shake hands. I told them when they come up, I won't shake hands with you. They're wearing the mask, and they got their feel comfortable doing that. Some of us do, some don't. But anyway, we're glad to have them come and join with us. Amen. All right, let's stand. Turn around and salute each other, and let's be dismissed.